Well, this week we've been looking at a number of things along with our theme, which has been... Good, hey? Not that tired to forget it. Fully committed. And we've been looking at the commitment of the Father towards each one of us in His creation. We've been looking at the commitment of the Son of God who loved us and gave His life for us, and the commitment of the Holy Spirit to come and to lead us into everything that Jesus has promised us. And this morning I want us to focus in that little bit more upon the way that Jesus sort of worked, because we need to understand that everything that Jesus did was a mirror, a reflection of what He saw His Father in heaven doing. That what He did wasn't alienated from the purposes of God, because even before the foundation of the world, God knew what He was about. And everything that Jesus did, He did through the power of the Holy Spirit. He didn't do it in His own abilities or His own capabilities or His own strength, because God had limited Himself as a man to give us a picture of how we could live and work and be if we follow the way that Christ has given us by being filled with the Holy Spirit. And yesterday we saw how He spoke, and the scriptures say, be filled with the Holy Spirit, again and again and again, because we need His power. But in Luke's gospel and in chapter 5, there's a story there that I love about the life of Jesus, because it tells us this. It tells us about the action of Jesus. And one of the things that I always notice throughout the gospels is that Jesus was somebody who did this. Now, if you've just come in and you can't see that, blink again. Don't look at the red bits, look at the white. And you'll see a word and it says,
walk.
No, it's walk. But it'll do. It's close enough. And he walked everywhere. Do you know what he said? Now, it just wasn't because there was no Greyhound buses or no taxi cabs or anything like that. But I believe that he was actually patterning something for us, because he was walking. Because if you walk to places, it means you're available, you're accessible. You know, when I see pictures of Her Majesty, just needed to pause there. You know, whenever she drives to places, all you ever see is that. That smile that royals develop, you know, and that little wave. But you know, you could never walk up to her and say, hi, Queenie, how's it going? Because there's usually an entourage there. And I even see with George W. when he gets out of the motor thingies that he had. And he walks, there's always people around him, and you can't walk up to him and say, hey, George, what about this? Because there's always people that get in the way and push you back. Because even though they do the walkabouts, it's usually for pictures, isn't it? You know, we'll kiss the baby, we'll shake the hand of the old lady, we'll slap somebody on the head, we'll smile to the cameras, we hope we don't come out with something very strange. Not the Queen, that's George. And I watch the news as well. But they're not accessible. But you see, with Jesus, when He walked, what He's saying is, I'm accessible, you can approach me. You don't need to make an appointment, I don't need to check my calendar. But you can come up to me. I'm there for everyone who wants to. And what He's doing is He's saying, God has not changed. God is a God who moves amongst His people if His people will let Him. He's a God who walks. And you know, I've noticed this about other religions when I travel around the world, that other gods have to be carried. I've watched them in Indian villages. They carry the gods. The Old Testament talks about it. I wouldn't want to worship a god that you've got to carry. You see, I go into places and I see statues of Buddha. You ever seen a statue of Buddha? I look at him and I notice one thing. He don't do a lot of walking. It's a fact. You know, he's got a huge, you know, he's out there somewhere. And I'm thinking, you don't walk, dude, you know. But with God, throughout the Bible, I see that He's a God who walks. I see in the Garden of Eden, He comes down in the evening and He walks with Adam and Eve. He talks with them. Why? Because he's a God of relationship. Why does Jesus walk? Because he's a God who wants to interact with people. He's not locked up on an altar. He's not stuck up on a mountain. He's not in some far obscure place. But he's available. He's available to all. So he moves amongst people. I read in the Old Testament of a man called Enoch. And it says this about Enoch, that he walked with God. I love that. And in the Bible, it says this in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says, keep in step with the Spirit. How can you keep in step with the Spirit of Jesus? It means walk with God. Imagine that the encouragement of heaven for you and for me is that we can actually have a walk with Jesus through his Holy Spirit. He walks and he makes himself available. And as he's walking, anybody can approach him. That means you. Because he's approachable. In the book of Hebrews, it says that because of what Jesus has done, the way is open and we can boldly approach the throne of grace. That means we can walk into the presence of God without any fear. So that we can receive mercy for the things we've done wrong, and grace, the benefits of God to help us in our need, that flow from him. Why? Because he's available all the time. I don't need to make an appointment with him. And God looks at you this morning and he says, I walk. Will you join me on a walk? I talk. Can we do coffee together? Can we chat? Because he's a God who moves. He's available. And he looks for companionship. And you know, so often our lack is that we don't choose to keep in step with the Holy Spirit and to walk with him. And God wants us to be men and women and young people who walk with our God. Because when you walk with him, who he is begins to affect you. You see, one of the first things I notice in the Acts of the Apostles, when they captured the disciples and they put them in, it says they knew they had been with Jesus. How? They'd walked with him. So everything about Jesus, his nature, his attitude, had started to affect them. No, they weren't perfect, but the walk with him had affected them. That's why he wants you to walk with him. You see, when you walk, you spend time. You listen. He's available. And in Luke's gospel it says he was on a journey, was between towns, and a leper, a man whose skin was perishing. Now I've seen lepers in Africa and India. It's a disgusting disease. It eats away at the fingers. So you see people whose fingers have been devoured by this disease, and they've gone, and the nose has been eaten away, and they often put a cloth across the face so you can't see the hole that was once the nose. And the cheeks and the lips have gone. The toes have often been eaten. All the soft parts of the body are under the effects of the disease. And this man who was totally unclean, he was outside, not permitted to go into the temple area, not permitted to take part in any religious or ceremonial practices. He was an outcast. Nobody wanted him around. The only thing he probably had was a bell that he would ring if a crowd was near, and he would shout, unclean. And all it meant is, get away from me. You don't want to be near me. And in the middle of this wilderness where Jesus is walking, this leper comes looking for him with all his filth in his rags, because he knows that the God who walks has got answers for him. And this morning, some of you need to know that the God who walks and moves has got answers for you in your situation, because he's a God who does not lack in power or resources. In England and America, we're going through recession. Things have taken a nosedive. We need to know something. There is no recession in heaven. God ain't worried about finances. He doesn't look at Jesus and say, I don't know how we're going to make ends meet this week. There is no recession. There is resource. And you see, that man, as he approached Jesus, he didn't think to himself, well, I'm going to be approaching the one who is the Son of God, so I better have a bath first. Maybe I better invest in a new set of clothes and get some new bandages around my sickness and disease. He didn't think of anything like that. And you see, sometimes we injure ourselves by thinking, I've got to do something to make myself presentable to God. God says you can. But he just says, come and walk with me. What, God? In my filth? In my sin? In the condition that I'm in? Maybe you've come this morning and you're in a backslidden condition. You know your walk with God is not what it once was. And you're thinking God's looking at you and saying, you better keep your distance. God would never do that to you. Jesus would look at you this morning and he says, hey, don't keep away. I've missed your company. Come here. What a God who would look at you and say, I've missed you. I don't understand it, but he does. I've missed you. Let's walk together. And the leper comes to him. And he just looks at Jesus and he says these words, Lord, recognizing who he is, Lord, master of all things. If you are willing, you can make me clean. If you are willing, you can make me clean. You see, that's the big question that so many of us have at times. Is God willing? We have the big if there. And all Jesus says is, I am. I am willing. I am willing. You see, with God, there is no shadow of changing. You know, there's a song, and I think we sang it the other evening, and I love the song, but I hate the chorus, because it's not true. And the song says, blessed be the name of the Lord. I love that, bless the name of the Lord. But then the refrain at the end says, the Lord gives and he takes away. He doesn't. You know, we need to wake up to the fact, what does he take away? My sin. What does he take away apart from that? Nothing. Because he's the God who gives. Because he's willing to give and to bless. Because if he takes away, I've got no sure foundation. I've got no security. I don't know where I stand with him. And that phrase is just based on something Job said. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But later on he repented of it. He says, God, I've got it all wrong. And in the book of Romans in chapter 11, it says this. That the call and gifts of God are without repentance. What does that mean? He doesn't take them back. He doesn't change his mind. I'd rather have that version, wouldn't you? That God, you're a God who is for me. You give. I changed the words in my church. I told them that we'll sing, not the Lord gives and takes away, but you give and give again. You give and give. Because I found this out. You know, even when my walk has not been 100%, and I know you'll find that hard to believe, but I have had my wobbles. Just like everybody else, just because you're a preacher doesn't mean you're perfect and that you're walking 100% right with God. But I've noticed this, in the times when I've wobbled, he doesn't change his mind. He doesn't look down and say, well, I'm going to get that back off you. Because he's not like that. Because everything that God gives is based upon the free gift of what he's released on the cross of Calvary. The leper says to him, if you are willing. There was no ifs in God's mind. There was no buts or doubts. He just said, I am willing. I am willing. You see, when God looks at you this morning, there's some of you who have come in and you've had big clouds over your head and you've been saying, God, I'm not sure whether you'll do this for me. I'm not sure whether it's in your will. And God looks at you this morning, he says, I'm willing. But are you willing to believe me that I'll do it? James says the reason we don't have when we ask is because we don't believe. The leper came to him believing. If you're willing, all you need to do is to speak. And what did Jesus do? He just says, I'm willing. And then he spoke. One word, two words, be cleansed. And immediately the leper's skin became as soft as a baby's bottom. Without nappy rash. He was made whole. Just on the power of his word. And why had it come about? All because the leper had chosen to push in and to meet the God who is available, who has made himself accessible to everyone who would call upon him. That's why the Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What does that mean? It's not just about salvation from sin. It means shall be rescued from the situation that's drowning you, shall be delivered from the situation that's engulfing you, shall be set firm on a rock on which you'll be safe, because God is for you. That's his total commitment. That's why he walked and did all what he did, because he is for you. He's not far away. He comes close. And this morning he's close to you. And maybe like the leper, you've got to come to him and you've just got to say, Lord, not if you're willing, but Lord, I know you are willing. Because the Bible says this, no good gift can he withhold from him whose walk is upright. Him whose walk, what does that mean? The one who walks in and approaches God. This morning, his total commitment says this, God is with me because he's approachable. Now, those of you that have just come in for Superfest, you don't know how blessed you've been this morning because all the words have been finished. I'm going to ask, just as we draw to a close, I'm going to ask Ferrell to come back and he's just going to play a short chorus for us. And I want you to stand with me. It's a chorus that you probably know. It just simply says this. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And this morning, as we sing this song through, and as you turn your eyes upon Jesus, make a decision in your heart that you know, God, you are willing not only to meet my need and answer my prayer, but you are willing to draw close to me if I draw close to you. Why not let him do that, what he longs to do, what he died on the cross for, so he could enjoy your company? Let's sing it together. Thanks, Pharaoh. One more time together. Father, we pray this morning that each one of us would know the companionship of you drawing close to us as we choose to draw close to you. And thank you that as we make that our resolve to press into you, you would not turn one of us away and you would not withhold favor and blessing from the children that you love, that you purchased through your death on the cross. So we thank you for that, Father. In and through the name of our Savior Jesus.